Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, December the 10th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about Twitter, and I'm going to begin by recommending that you check out my post over at the American Thinker. It's on the right-hand side of the American Thinker website where they have the blog post. And I wrote a post about conversations going on right now in Brazil about maybe Twitter was also fooling around in Brazil with the election. Now, some of you familiar with Brazil know that they had a very, very contested election about a month or so ago. The election returned to the presidency, a fellow by the name of Lula da Silva. He's known as Lula. That's his popular nickname. And he defeated the incumbent, President Bolsonaro. And that election, I mean, there are still people in Brazil who are not accepting the results of that election. There have been massive reactions to that election. It does look like Lula will become president, I guess, in a couple of weeks. But it's been a very contested election. And there are people in Brazil who feel that Twitter also had a role in manipulating the information down there. Some of Bolsonaro's supporters had their accounts deleted because they were challenging the election and so on. Some of the stuff that we saw up here. So, you know, it's an interesting part of the conversation because for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Twitter up here. And, of course, Elon Musk, who bought Twitter recently, has hired a couple of these two reporters, Barry Weiss, I think is the lady's name, and Matt Taibbi is the gentleman's name. Neither one of these two is a conservative, so they cannot be accused of being right-wing Trump supporters. They're not. They're actually pretty liberal, both of them. But, you know, we might classify them under the category of very honest reporters, people who are, you know, interested in telling you what they see, not what they want you to hear. But they've been releasing different batches of information with different details about, you know, how Twitter was involved in all of this and what Twitter was doing behind the scenes. Now, it's a little bit like reading a book and that, you know, you've only had three chapters and there are more chapters coming. So we don't know if the best has already been released or if there's more stuff coming. But here's what we can tell you, at least what I can tell you based on what I have right now, the information that I have right now. Number one, it's obvious to me that the people running Twitter, the management team at Twitter, was Exhibit A, Exhibit 1, 101, whatever you want to call it, of Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, these people decided at some point during the Trump presidency, they decided that they were going to do everything under their powers to deny Trump the presidency, including manipulating information, doing this and doing that. And this is all coming out. Now, that in itself, and I'm going to say something now that some of you may not like, but that in itself is not illegal. I mean, Twitter can be whatever they want to be. But the real problem is, and that's some of the information that is coming out now in the last batch of tweets, the real problem is where there are federal agencies involved in this, and the FBI is the one they talk about. I mean, what was the FBI meeting? What was the FBI doing meeting with managers or the heads of people at the managerial team, if you will, at Twitter talking about, you know, manipulating data? That's not the job of the FBI. That's not what the FBI is supposed to be doing. Now, let me just say something about the FBI, and I've said it before. 99% of the people who work at the FBI are the best, and they do a great job. And that's why I hate these stories, because it paints the FBI as bad people, and they're not. They're all very good, hardworking agents who in many cases risk their lives for us. So I don't have a problem with the people at the FBI, but there's no question that there were some people over in the top floor who became very obsessed with Trump, and we saw some of their performances, some of the stuff that has come out. Now, that is, I think, the problem. That is where the scandal could really become a problem for the people at Twitter and for people at the FBI. If there was a connection there between the FBI or government agencies and Twitter, and they were participating in the manipulation, and I say if, because nothing has been proven, but the, you know, in the last batch of information, they were saying that they were meeting people from federal agencies, so something's going on. And I think that's the scandal. That is the scandal. That's where all of this could really hit the fan. And you could have FBI, people from the FBI in front of a House committee next year, the House committee that is going to look into this. And that's where I think this whole thing could really hit the fan. And we could have a scandal of significant proportions. Now, I think the way President Trump reacted to this was a big mistake, where he came out and made some remarks about canceling the election. Look, you cannot cancel the election. The election is a fact, and there's nothing you can do about it, the election. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. But so I think it was a mistake for President Trump to come out and say what he said. Now, he corrected himself later, and that's okay, but, you know, the problem is that when President Trump does these things, when he goes out and he makes these statements, then that's all we hear about for the next 2 days from the media, because obviously they have an obsession with Trump too. So we will watch these information releases from Twitter. But I think the real problem here, and I've said this from day one, the real problem is, what was the FBI doing talking to Twitter about manipulating or information? That's not the role of the FBI. That is not what the FBI should be doing. And if they were doing that, then they're going to have to explain it to a House investigative committee sometime next year. And you know that's coming. So that I think is the biggest problem of everything we've heard so far. You know, the political stuff, look, I knew that at least I did, that Twitter, the people running Twitter, where people with a, let's just say, a left-wing orientation. I mean, everybody knew that, so that shouldn't be a shock. Everybody knew that they were more inclined to vote Democrat. I mean, everybody kind of knew that, so I'm not surprised by any of that. But when you get federal agencies involved, that is a problem. That could really become a problem. There may be other legal problems here for Twitter. I'm not really qualified to deal with them, but I think the biggest problem is, what was the FBI doing to Twitter, talking to Twitter in the first place? That's where I would really like to have more information. I mean, I like to give the FBI the benefit of the doubt here, so I'm hoping for more information, but it's not good. It's not good to have the FBI involved in any of this whatsoever. I have a post coming out Sunday morning about Senator Manchin. Senator Manchin of West Virginia. As you know, Senator Sinema of Arizona announced, I guess in the last day or so, that she was switching to an independent. She was going to become an independent. She's still going to hang around with the Democrats. She's still going to vote with the Democrats, but she's going to be an independent. Why she did it, you know, there's all kinds of speculation. I think she's putting her seat at risk as an independent. Because when you're running as an independent in Arizona, more than likely there's going to be a Democrat on the ballot running against you. So that Democrat is going to take some Democrat votes with you. And if we've seen anything in these elections in Arizona, is that they're pretty tight. So if a Democrat, you know, if Sinema gets 45-46% of the vote, I don't even think she would be that high if there's a Democrat on the ballot. She could lose her seat to a Republican. So I think it's a high risk for her to do this, but, you know, she apparently wants to do it. I don't, you know, on one hand, I don't blame her, because I think the Senate has become very partisan, and I think it's sometimes refreshing to think that somebody's an independent. But she's not really a true independent. She's just a Democrat calling herself an independent. It's just like Bernie Sanders and the other Senator Angus from Maine. I mean, those people are Democrats. They vote with the Democrats all the time, but they call themselves independents. Why? I don't know. But That's what I think is happening here. But she could put her risk, her seat at risk in 2024 if the Republicans can nominate a good candidate. And I'm hoping the Republicans will nominate in 2024 Governor Ducey, the one who just finished two very successful terms there in Arizona, very popular governor. I'm hoping that he will run for the Senate. If he does, I think he's got a pretty good chance of beating the independent senator. But all of this, of course, has to do with Senator Manchin and what exactly is Senator Manchin going to do. Because, look, there's no way that Senator Manchin can serve the interest of West Virginia as a Democrat. I mean, the Democrat Party in West Virginia are so far apart that it's ridiculous for him to continue pretending that he can serve the interest of West Virginia. So I'm not saying that he should become a Republican, but I think it might be better for the people of West Virginia if Senator Manchin became an independent. He's the one who I think should become an independent, because the people of West Virginia would love to see him break away from the Democrat Party. I mean, those recent remarks about President Biden, about, you know, killing the coal industry, look, that doesn't go well in West Virginia. And I know that Senator Manchin criticized President Biden, but I don't think that was enough for the people of West Virginia. So in my post Sunday morning, I'm talking about the reality that the Democrat Party that Senator Manchin used to be a part of doesn't exist anymore. That party doesn't exist in West Virginia anymore. Now, Senator Manchin has a memory of that party, but the people in West Virginia don't know that party. And that's why, if you look at the congressional delegation from West Virginia, the only Democrat is Senator Manchin. Well, everybody else is a Republican. That's because the Democrat Party, and as I said, and the Democrat Party and West Virginia went their own ways a long time ago. And it's time for Senator Manchin to realize that and become an independent and be a true independent. Vote the interest of West Virginia, not just a Republican, but vote for the interest of West Virginia and stay away from the Democrat Party. I don't understand how the people of West Virginia are helped by Senator Manchin being a Democrat. I just don't see how. Just a quick heads up, on Friday, we recorded a video as well as a podcast with my friend George Rodriguez. We talked about lots of different things, including school choice in Texas. You may want to check that out. It's in the archives, either under Friday's video or Friday's podcast. So check that out, and you can hear our conversation with George. George is always a lot of fun when he joins our podcast or our video. And on this day, now here's a good one. On this day in 1998, December the 10th, 1998, the Treaty of Paris was signed. And what was the Treaty of Paris? Well, that's how Puerto Rico, the Philippines, and Cuba became a protectorate of the United States, and later it became a country. Puerto Rico and the Philippines remained under U.S. supervision. But all of that happened on this day in 1998, when the Treaty of Paris brought to an end the war, the Spanish-American War of 1898. It didn't take a long time for that war to happen, but it had consequences. Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Philippines, just three, I think Guam also, became part of the United States on that war. It was the end of the Spanish Empire, that much we know. Well, have a great weekend. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.